Welcome back to the AdsWise podcast. On this week's episode, we're asking the question, is social media antisocial? We'll be discussing some of our experiences on Twitter, especially some of mine over the last few weeks, whether social media affects our relationships in real life and what the future of social media might look like. First, we'll be giving you our picks of the week, so stay tuned.
They call you the millennials.
The burnout generation.
Millennials have it too easy.
The stress caused by anxiety, work ethic, and even childhood.
Millennials.
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 Blame it on the millennials.
You are now listening to the AdsWise podcast with Ade and Benita.
How are you doing?
I am great. Thank you.
You look great. Got your makeup on.
Actually, I've just got concealer on, thank you.
So that's just a natural blush.
And blush. That's it.
Yeah, and a light mascara.
Yeah.
Or eyeliner.
Calm down.
See, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's it. I'm not wearing foundation or powder or any bronzer, nothing like that. No contouring.
Yeah, I just went through your whole routine. That's just what I could tell. But yeah, no, you're looking good. It's crazy. This is like the first time I've seen you since I don't even know when. And every time I see you, you're looking pretty different.
Is it? You saw me that time after you came to see Khalil. That's when I'd lost a lot of weight. So yeah, you were like, oh my god, you look different.
Yeah.
then this is like the next time.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures like when at Christmas you was a lot different than you are now. Yeah, you was slimmer.
I was a lot slimmer then. Yeah, I've put on a stone since Christmas.
That's good. How's life been treating you otherwise?
Yeah, good. I feel healthy. I think I'm healthy. I'm waiting for the doctors to confirm that, but I feel good. I feel healthy. I'm eating normally. I don't feel sick. Like, I've got no flare-ups and stuff like that, so thank God for that. And then, obviously, we were discussing before, but obviously, I'm moving into a new house. It's like a new start for my son and all of that. And, I'm back to work soon. So, things are going good. How are things going?
It's crazy because you're doing the thing they say you should never do at the same time, like have a child, move house, move job.
I know. It's mad. But I'm glad that this move is happening now because just before I go back to work, so I have time to settle in and get into a routine and get all my furniture and stuff in my little work from home space set up before I actually start back in my new role. So, yeah. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, that's good, man. Happy for you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Ooh, what's been going on with you? Good.
I've been stressed, man. Work's been slapping my ass. I'm just doing a lot of... I just got a lot... It's crazy to be stressed with work when you're working from home.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. But it's all good. It's just trying to... Like, for those listening, I'm just launching a new platform in my new role. Like, a completely new... I'm basically like project manager / producer / director / talent agent, like everything. It's just crazy. So trying to do all of that and on time and budgeting. It's just been a lot of work, but we're getting there. But I've been stressed. I actually feel like I'm getting a stress induced cold just because I've just been like, my body's just been, yeah, I've been pushing it. So I'm looking forward to the weekend, rest up, have a couple of drinks, and watch Netflix.
And drink your water, obviously, like Pommy said in the last
episode. Yes. Shout out Pommy Knapp for that last episode. It's crazy because I won't say ever since that episode, but I've been seeing a lot more people talking openly about getting vaccinated. And you can see a lot of people from within our community talking openly about like why it's important to get vaccinated and all the misinformation. So I think it just goes to show like the importance of having those conversations.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that was quite a good response from what, anyway, my mentions were like, people were saying like, oh, it's good to see people in our community talking about this stuff and whatever. So like, I think it was well received. And obviously, because a lot of people had asked questions that we asked in the interview, like there were a lot of people that are like, I needed this podcast. Like, so I think it was a good one, a really good one. Yeah.
Advice podcast.
Oh, but what are we talking about this week?
But anyway, we're talking about social media and
your favorite subject.
Bruh, listen.
You're the most antisocial social media person I know. I just want that to be known.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's because I hate people. And the reason, the last 2 weeks have confirmed why I just don't like social media. And the only reason I'm actually on social is because, one, I really love taking pictures of myself. Also, because it's my job. So I have to be on social media. You know what I mean? So it's just like, even if I wanted to delete it all, I kind of couldn't. It wouldn't make sense for me to do it. So anyway, here we are, whatever. But then now I'm finding as my following is growing, especially on Twitter, I'm just getting a lot of like ridiculous people in my mentions all the time now. Like where before it was like I would have to say something really stupid or outrageous to get anyone in my mentions. But now it's like I just tweet the simplest things. It could be such a nice thing or something that's like really good intention, and I've just got someone in my mentions constantly like fucking shit, and it's just in my head, to be quite honest with you.
I'm laughing because you know how many times it's happened to me in the past, and you're always there on the sidelines cracking up, enjoying someone just out of the blue getting in. Now I can just sit back and watch you. Yeah, I've been seeing you've been having some sub-tweet battles and quote tweet. It just, for me, it seems like on Twitter especially, everyone is just trying to one-up someone else. And like, it's like you're going out of your way to think, how can I take what this person has said and interject myself, make it personal and make myself look better in the process?
This is exactly it. And the thing is, a couple of weeks ago, I literally tweeted, Twitter is no longer a place, like no longer a forum for discussion. People just want to always be right. That is literally what I tweeted. And then all of a sudden, it's like the proof just kept coming. Like I tweeted about what was the first thing I tweeted about?
Influencers.
Was,
you tweeted about influencers.
About influencers. Yeah.
Like something you know nothing about, apparently.
So like those of you who don't follow me on Twitter or wondering what we're talking about, a few influencers that I follow on Instagram have posted things saying they're not posting about a certain brand or a specific product because that brand knows they exist, know that they promote this product, and they don't want to run in their coin. So my opinion on it is that as an influencer marketer working with brands, my opinion is that influencer marketing is about showing people who follow you the things that you love. Genuinely, do you know what I mean? Not the fact that you're getting paid to. Yes, you have an ad and whatever, but the whole concept of influencer marketing is genuine. I love this product. I think you guys should buy it. Blah 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 blah. That's how it all started. So to now say, do you know, I really love this biscuit, but I'm not promoting it to you guys anymore. Even though I eat it every day and I buy it all the time, I'm not promoting it because this brand don't want to run me my coin, even though they know I exist. Like, how is that? How that doesn't make sense to me. So I just tweeted my opinion on it. I tweeted my opinion on it. And then I had some influencer in my DMs. Everyone thought I was talking about Melissa, and because she put something up about it previously.
Oh, and I didn't even.
Yeah, so everyone thought I was actually like talking about her specifically. But I was like,
you're getting all her stans in your mentions.
Yeah, but I love Mel. Like, I follow her, I stan her so hard. And I will always put her forward for any campaigns that I work on, like 100%. But I had people in my mentions acting like, literally someone said, don't know why they tweeted me something. And then in the thread underneath, it said, I don't know why influencer marketing, something you clearly know nothing about, irks your soul so much. So I had to just come with a quote tweet and be like, actually, I work with your favorite brands and your favorite influencers every single day. Like, I don't talk on things I don't know. I know a lot about this. Like, just thinking, how you don't even know me. You don't know me, but you come into my mentions chatting shit And then you want to act like you know what I do for a living day to day with your, like, just, and this is because you want to try and be a bad man for your followers, but you're not. You're not. And this is what I hate about the internet.
Yeah, it's oh, I can't lie, it's refreshing to just, I remember when I came on that day, I was just thinking, what is going on? Like, what is, I think I might have even saw the quote tweet before I saw your tweet. And I was just like, what is even going on? You're just getting kind of dragged by these random people. But yeah, everyone just wants to kind of, sometimes I feel like people wake up and be like, rah, what can I be enraged by today? Like, what can I pluck out of thin air to grind my gears about and moan? Like, and it's, that's another reason why with Clubhouse, like, oh. I haven't personally I haven't spent a lot of time on Clubhouse just because I can barely deal with like the Twitter kind of like text-based kind of, oh, you know, proving who's who and like who knows more, and then to be in a room full of let me land, like, it's just but don't get me wrong, like, if you find a chat for you, if you find a room for you, then it's great. But yeah, I being stressed, like, the last thing I want to do is listen to like strangers shout at each other and like say, oh, thank you so much for allowing me to speak. Like, that is not what my mom raised me to be saying on the internet. Nah, the internet that I pay for.
To be fair, I haven't paid much attention to Clubhouse since I downloaded it the first time. I've not been on there, and a lot of the time I just go on there to inspo, like, see what people are talking about, see what everyone's interested in. But yeah, I can barely deal with it on Twitter, so I don't want to, I then don't want to be hearing, and I just don't know how people spend so much of their day on Clubhouse. Like, it must be so exhausting to constantly either just be listening to people do their opinion, because I feel like there's this thing with social media where there's like these dominant voices, and like they tend to take over everything, and everything that they say must be correct, or we all must listen to. And then it's just like, there's those people, and then there's the people on social media who are like, oh, like, someone has given an opinion but they want to one-up them because they feel like they know more, or they want to be the expert, they're the expert on it, and everyone, it's just like everyone just wants to be right, and everyone just wants all the kudos from everyone, and it's just like,
you made a good point, because I've been seeing a lot of like popular people with horrible takes, like the take is trash, and just because of popularity in politics, like, they'll have people that will go out of their way to like defend it or feel the need to say something, when really and truly you actually don't have to say anything. Like, you, especially if it's like you like that person but they're chatting shit, like, you don't even have to. I'm not even saying call them out, because it's really not that deep. Like, I remember I've had situations in the past where I've had a back and forth. In fact, it was even you was involved in it. Like, somebody, I'll tell you off mic, somebody said something and then we quote tweeted, and then they felt away, and then one of my friends got involved, like, backing them, and I just had to I just called him or messaged him off Twitter. I was like don't do that again, like, because you're my friend. Like, if you feel away, tell me. You know what I mean? Like, tell me, like, holler at me. Don't, let's not do the whole, because I would never do that. Like, I would never, if someone's getting at you, like, if it's serious, I'm never gonna be on Twitter like voicing. I'll you know what I mean? I'm gonna talk to you directly. I'm not really for the like, I have a life. Like, I'm not going to perform for other people that I don't care about. If your opinion matters and my opinion matters to you, let's talk about it properly. But
exactly. But that's the thing. Another thing is that no one can share an opinion, and if, say, I share an opinion and if someone else shares an opinion, no one wants to be the person to say, no one wants to agree and just like, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. What am I trying to say? Basically, there's always someone online who wants to take your argument or take your opinion or whatever you've said and like take it into a whole different context.
Exactly,
because they've taken whatever they've taken from it, and it's just like, bruh, like, this is so unnecessary. Like, I wasn't even talking about that, or I mean, it's just people. I don't know, people are weird. No, everyone wants to. It's always so aggressive as well. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's aggressive. It's like, you can't share an opinion. And then if someone disagrees with it, they're like, actually, do you know what? I disagree. I hear what you're saying, but I disagree. That, oh, you know, I respect your opinion, but I disagree. It's always like, you people are stupid, or like, where are you getting this opinion from? It's like, oh, can we not just have like a discussion? Yeah, like, you know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine.
You know what it is, yeah? Social media shows me how few people have been punched in the face before, or how few people have ever been rushed for their mouth, because I see it clearly. Because the way people talk to each other, it's like, right, I can tell you've never actually had to deal with, or in real life, you just don't speak like this, because the vim and the confidence and the blaseness that you're showing just talking to strangers on the internet is complete madness. And one thing that my boy Matthew actually said to me recently, which I've tried to put in place, is like, you know, when someone's got a horrible take and everyone's quoted it, and I've been guilty of it myself, like you jump in, like when it's a ridiculous take, that kind of mob mentality, I'm trying to apply the thing where if that was in real life and someone was doing something stupid, or someone was fighting, someone was getting rushed and everyone's jumping in, I'm not necessarily going to jump in with them and just for the sake of it. So why online am I feeling the need to kind of show you that, yes, I think you're stupid? And it's like, what am I gaining from doing that? So now I tweet so much less, because it's like, if I don't agree with it and you haven't personally offended me, I'm just going to not engage.
Yeah, that's the same. It's like, there's a lot of times I've gone to quote tweet something and then been like, nah, I just can't be bothered.
Not worth it.
Or like, what am I getting out of this? Exactly. Or do I even care that much? There's a lot of that. Then, like, Twitter is meant to be a forum to share your opinions, to have debates, to have conversations. But it's just like, it's probably not like this in all areas of Twitter, but just probably in Black Twitter, it's probably like this. Mm. It's mad. I just think, it's just wild. But that's why...
What you just said, though, Twitter's a place to share your opinion. There's like a little asterisk at the end where it's like, as long as the popular people, and as long as it agrees with the popular train of thought. Because if you're saying anything that goes against that, be prepared for some type of battle. But, and I don't feel as if it's always been like this as well.
Yeah, and you don't have to tweet anything that's like controversial. Like the other day, I went to the doctors and I tweeted that if you haven't booked your cervical screening, please go and book it. It's important. It can literally save your life. And then I had people in my mentions like, it's not just saying easy what? For everyone to go and book a screening, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, bro, I am literally just trying to help, like, remind women people who have a cervix or whatever.
How dare you?
I know. I was literally, it's mad. Like, it's mad. And it's just annoying, because it's like, why am I having to do a battle when, if you've taken something from my tweet and you feel like we need to discuss an area of this topic further, then take it on your timeline and discuss it, or set up a clubhouse or do something, start a podcast. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just here sharing my opinion. I can't be the spokesperson for every bit of this topic. Do you know what I mean? Like, just let me live, let people live. Like, I just, but it's not always been like that. That's the thing. It's become like this over the last, I don't even know how many years, maybe the last couple of years. But when I first got on Twitter, I don't think it was like this at all. It was a lot. It's like, as more people have come on the platform, they've grown their audience, now it's like, can't say nothing unless, if these set of people don't agree with you, you're just going to get shit in your mentions, basically.
Wow. Exactly. And that's the main reason why we're talking about, like, is social antisocial, just because as much as, especially during the pandemic, right, we rely on social media so much. And for a lot of people, like, they treat it as their journal. Like, I've been guilty of that in the past, but I know a lot of people that they use Twitter for, like, every type of bit of validation, like, to get their jokes off, to for opinions, like, they're so obsessed by it. And when that is what you're used to using social media for it to kind of turn into something else is quite crazy. And, like, even look at us, like, we met via social media, and, like, it goes to show how important, like, social media, actually socializing on social media is. But yeah, man, I'm not sure. I can't say it's social anymore. It feels very antisocial.
Yeah, but I think it is becoming like that. Like, obviously, a lot of the reading that I did around social recently talks about, you know, like Gen Z and how they have they're coming up, and despite like spending time curating this like online life or whatever, they now wanna they're posting a lot less. And if they are posting, it's usually to private groups. But like, they're spending a lot less time. Gen Z as a generation are spending. And I feel like I say, every like Gen Z person I know in my family or outside my family, they never really post. Like, you know, it's like, we'll post daily stories, whatever, like our lives, whatever we're doing. With the younger lot, like, especially my nephew's like 19, I've got two nephews that are 19 in that era. My little brother who's going to be 16. Like, my cousin. You just think, like, you guys, like, they don't post at all. And if they do, it's like a one-off. This is me at an event or whatever. Do you know what I mean? More time, they're just, like, scrolling and probably seeing what's going on. But in terms of posting their lives like we do, they don't. So I definitely think that it's true what they're saying about, like, social becoming... It is becoming antisocial, but I think people are just moving to more private groups, WhatsApp and whatever, Messenger, whatever.
I think for the sake of people's mental health, that's probably better. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of impacts like influencer marketing and the stuff that we see with, you know, if the smaller, really tight knit circles, really engaged circles become the main thing. It'll be interesting just to see how brands tap into that. But because, you know, the days of like, you know, the vloggers waking up and this is get ready with me and this is my breakfast and now we're gonna go shopping and now we bought a house, like every single broadcasting every single element of your life like is just tiring. So yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? The other day I proper deep the fact that, you know how we look at boomers, we are now like the millennials are now the boomers. Like Gen Z now look at us how we look at boomers. Yeah. Like we are no longer like, now when I feel like millennials now sound so old, like we are no longer the youngest generation. There's a whole Gen Z and Gen Alpha not far behind. So
it's wild because I'm like feeling old because I do have younger, I have loads of Gen Z family members and they're like, I can't even like listen to their music anymore without them being like, what are you doing? Like, so I feel mad old.
I remember the other day we played the Spice Girls, watched Spice Girls videos with one of my nieces, and the way they looked at me like, what is this?
Is it?
They were like, what is this? And what was funny is then like a Venga Boys song came on. Obviously Venga Boys is from our generation. That's like, but they've made it into some TikTok thing. So they know it from TikTok. And they're singing all these lyrics that when I think about it, when we was young singing all these lyrics, I was thinking, yo, what are we talking about? And it's mad because they were like, oh, you don't know this song. And I'm thinking, shut up, man. I was there when this song, I was around when this song came out, but because they're part of the TikTok generation, like they see stuff in a completely different way. But yeah, man.
Yeah. I think it's wild what TikTok's done actually for music in general. Because it's like, if your song blows up on TikTok, you've blown. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, my nephew loves TikTok.
Do you think that's always the case though?
Yeah. If it blows on TikTok, I think, like, there's songs that I only know because of TikTok.
Fine. Okay, that's fine from a single point of view, but I'll give you an example. Who's the artist that made the song for the Bust It Challenge?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. That's my point, because, like, that song blew, but I don't know that woman's name. Like, I don't actually know how much that challenge translated into, like, more sales and more awareness for her. I would assume it did, but I don't actually know. But I'm just like, I hear you, but I'm just thinking of there's so many people that have kind of had viral success, and after that moment, haven't been able to capitalize on it, and it's just, you know what I mean, it is what it is. Like, whereas you take other people who have been building for time, like you look at Michael Dapper, who was building for time, and then something took off, but he was already to capitalize on it because he already had the groundwork. So now he's getting these big brand deals. You know what I mean? It's very different to some people that are just trying to come up with one viral moment and bank on that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Let's hold that convo right there. It's time for an ad break.
Stories that stick.
I love crime books. So I love reading stuff that was just kind of told you what people were.
A podcast series about the stories that shape us.
And it was the first time that I understood that my gayness meant danger.
When all is said and done,
I'm not here to be playing no games when it comes to that racial shit. I am for my people, and that's it, period.
It is only the stories that matter.
Nelson Mandela walked through and he said, your baby is the future of the world.
Stories that stick.
If you'd like to be featured on the podcast, please do get in touch.
Advice podcast.
Talking of social being antisocial, a lot of the time, and this is something that I know, I think you've spoken about it before on a podcast, but what's something that irks me a lot is when people are constantly on their phone when I'm around them, or like if we're doing something together.
Don't get me started, Benita. Don't get me. You have some nerve because you are the biggest guilty person of to do that. Have you changed? You are, oh my
God. Yeah, I changed. I don't you know are, if I've changed, but I'm trying to be person. Conscious about it.
No, you're on your phone all the time.
I'm
yes,
not.
Yes, yes, yes. I've been in many podcasts with you and you're on your phone.
Yeah, vice versa though. Same to you.
No, but yours is different, man. Yours is different. You are on your phone. You are on your phone. Look at you. Why are you blushing for? Why are you hiding? Nah, man. Nah, but yeah, it definitely irks me. And it's crazy because there's like, obviously you've had conversations with other people who have probably made you realize like, rah, you do it a lot, which just shows there's levels to it. Like I would never say I was someone that's always on my phone, but I've been with people who like when we're together, they don't understand like, as far as they're concerned, the phone, there's no need for phones. Like, we're here. And I've been with other people where it's like, I get annoyed when we're watching a movie and they're on their phone. Like, that kind of bothers me. And it's just like, there's levels to it. And I do feel like, yeah, now it's so common where you could all meet up in a group of people and you're busy tweeting about it or Snapchatting it as opposed to actually living in the moment.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree. I definitely think, like, in terms of, like, if you're with your partner or if you're spending quality time with people that you don't see often or whatever, I definitely think, like, you need to be a lot more conscious about whether you're on your phone a lot and whatever. But do you know the experiences thing? I don't know. Because for me, like, now we're in a panoramic. I look back on my Instagram stories or my Snapchat memories and I'm like, oh my gosh, this was such a sick time, like, reliving the moment, do you know what I mean? And so, like, I don't know if I would ever, like, put your phone away, like, enjoy the concert. Like, I can relive this moment 3 years down the line, do you know what I mean, if I wanted to.
Yeah. I agree on that point. Like, I think concerts are different because, like you said, you want to be able to look back at it. But on the flip side, if you're so absorbed in capturing that moment, you actually miss out from living in that moment and being present. And I'm even talking about just a casual, well, like COVID permitted, like just a casual meetup with friends. Like, it's very common where you be with even your siblings. I don't know how your family structure is, but it's very common. Like, if I'm with my family, that everyone at one point will be on their phones and my nieces will be on, like, there's like three tablets. They'll each be on the iPad. Then my brother will be on his phone, my sister-in-law, my sister. So it's like, yeah. It's crazy, man. I just feel like, and one of the things that I even said when we had the episode about was it lessons that we learned from 2020. Like, one of them for me was like being present. I think I can't remember, but that's definitely like one of my things that I want to focus on, because it's so easy to kind of just get wrapped up and absorbed in your devices and technology that you're not even being there for the people that need you the most. So
yeah, it's true. And I think the only reason I realized how it could be so annoying is because someone did it to me and I was like, this is so annoying. So yeah, I get it. But I think we've definitely got to all like be a bit more conscious. And I guess it is another element of, it's not really to do with social being antisocial, but when we're on, it's things like, I guess, like you said, watching TV or watching a movie and then you're tweeting or whatever. It's like, that is Twitter now. Do you know what I mean? Twitter is this place that we all seem to watch the same shows together and tweet about it and whatever. So it's like, yeah, it's a hard one.
That's a whole thing. Like, what do they call it? Is it double screening when you're watching something and then you're on your phone at the same time? Like, it's so common. And like, I can't say across the board it's bad, because like, if you take Love Island or if you take football Twitter, like,
yeah,
having that commentary where it's like in your language by people that look like you and say it in your way, like, it can be very helpful. But yeah, at the same time, when you're not part of that bubble, like, if you're not watching that program, it can be so annoying that everyone's just kind of, you know, like now the new thing is double apping, where somebody will be in Clubhouse and then on Twitter all you're seeing is what's happening in Clubhouse, and it's like, bro.
Yeah. That is literally the worst. I hate that so much. Like, I come on Twitter to like talk to people on Twitter, not to talk to people who are on Clubhouse talking to people on Clubhouse. Like, what is that?
Jesus, wow, man.
It's very wild.
How do you feel that social media and how we use it is going to change when it comes to the future?
I don't know. I think, like we said earlier, obviously with the new generation, Gen Z coming out, whatever, and they're using social less, I think we're just going to see, we're not going to see social media apps closed down. I just think we're going to see them have to focus on nurturing smaller communities. So like, I already know, like, we're talking about how brands might tap into it, but I already know influencers who are starting their own WhatsApp groups, like charging sense. People or they're setting up their own little communities on WhatsApp, because people are just yearning for like that connection as opposed to mass interaction.
Yeah.
So like, I just think right now it's how it is now, but I think in the future, Instagram, Twitter, all of these social platforms, they're definitely going to have to start looking at how they can nurture smaller groups of people, smaller communities.
Yeah, and we're seeing that with, like, if you take Clubhouse, for instance, and the fact that both Facebook and Twitter are reportedly making their own versions, like, that kind of brings it to life, where you can have a more kind of dedicated room to discuss the things that matter to you. So it'll be interesting to see, like, yeah, how brands tap into that kind of trend, where it's more this broadcast, more kind of discussion, interactive, smaller engagement. So yeah, man, be interesting.
Yeah, 100%. I think it'll be an interesting one. And we're already seeing brands like on WhatsApp and stuff like that, and obviously that's for different purposes, but how they utilize that going forward it's going to be interesting to see as well.
You know, one of the things that really blew my mind is, well, first two things. You know, I feel like I'm one of the only people that know that, like, if you sign up for it, Netflix will send you a message on WhatsApp when something from your list drops. Like, I always get notifications for my phone. But the reason why I thought of that is, they do. The reason why I thought of that is in the UAE, so in Dubai and places like that, every business is on WhatsApp. And like, people don't really do like the whole phone calls. Like, everything from booking dinner to everything is done on WhatsApp. So like, you'll be able to literally message your restaurant and be like, oh, I'm running late, and they'll respond, or you'll confirm stuff via WhatsApp. And it makes so much sense, like so much sense. And it's a lot sleeker and a lot quicker than, you know, kind of using email and stuff. So I just find it interesting how different countries, different cities are completely in a different space when it comes to social media. If you look at China, like, they're so connected, like, they have like WeChat, and they have so many different areas within it where, like, they basically live their whole life from shopping to dating to communicating. Everything is done in this one kind of platform, which is, yeah, blows my mind.
Yeah, it's wild. But I think like, I know we're going to talk about this in a whole nother episode, so I won't go into it in too much detail, but obviously we've been talking about the whole fourth industrial revolution thing, 5G, the whole technology thing, but China's already ahead of the game in that sense. So I just think it's only like a matter of time before we all catch up anyway, and it all becomes like that.
Yeah, and obviously for those who have no idea what you're talking about, like, in a nutshell, what is the fourth industrial revolution talking about? Or industrialization?
So obviously the industrial revolutions have happened over the years. So there was like the manufacturing process, and which was in 17, whatever, I don't know. But basically the fourth industrial revolution is said to be like where artificial intelligence comes in. It's already here, but I mean, like, it's going to be at the core of everything we do. You might have heard people talking about smart homes or the Internet of Things. You're already seeing Amazon use drones to deliver packages, and robots are delivering food in certain countries. Like, that is the fourth industrial revolution. Like, that is going to be the world. And it's not going to be, oh, this person's got to catch up. We're all going to be in this whole new AI world, which is not new because it's been introducing it slowly, but obviously it's going to be get to a point where we'll all have, instead of delivery drivers, we'll all have robots. And a lot of it is to do with upskilling and reskilling. That's why they're teaching coding in schools now and stuff like that. So it's a big thing. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, then you might know that this whole pandemic might have something to do with it or whatever. But yeah, I just think it's super interesting. It definitely is a conversation for another podcast, but it's crazy how technology is evolving and how like social is moving along with that. Like, for anyone who, if you're interested in the fourth industrial revolution and want to come on and talk about it on the podcast, then let us know.
A cheeky plug.
Yeah. But I just think generally overall, like, we're all having our interactions on social. I think as brands are definitely going to have to start looking switch it up at some point soon, like we said, nurture the smaller communities. And I just think if you want to be anti, like people say social media is most supposed to be social, and yes, I agree, but when you have so many idiots on the internet, it's really hard to be social. So I don't feel bad for not being social on the internet sometimes, but you know, each to their own.
I also find it interesting because I was speaking to my boy the other day, and we was talking about one of our other friends who has never really had social media. Like, they had a Facebook at one point and they had BBM, but they're not on Twitter, they're not on Instagram, they're not. And my friend described him as like basically an innocent baby, in the sense of he's not polluted, or like if you mention certain things, like he doesn't know what you're talking about. But also with that, he doesn't have the emotional baggage of kind of, you know what I mean? Like going through all that stuff, and he's just basically honestly. And it's crazy because we can talk about people like that as being like, oh, that's quite weird and interesting. Whereas if you think about it, you know how mad it is that the norm is for us to, like, we go to dinner and then we take pictures of it and then show people, or we're always trying to like show off or like showcase or host or present. It's actually quite mad how we're always kind of like switched on and in performance mode. Like, when do we actually, you know what I mean? Like, be real.
So true. When you put it like that, that is actually nuts to say that we're always in performance mode, because that is literally what, especially if you're on Instagram, that's literally what Instagram is. Instagram is, let me show you how great my life is all the time. Yeah. Literally. It's mad.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, we all, social media, I don't think there's anyone who lives it who completely is an accurate representation of their life, because you have your different selves. And I feel like Instagram is like, let me show you the best of my life. And then you've got Twitter where it's like, let me show you the best side of my personality. Whether it's, I want to show you how funny I am, how smart I am, how whatever. It's just, but yeah, man, it's so performative, and it's just, yeah, it's definitely made me a lot more willing and eager to jump on social media and just engage as much, because I just, yeah, I don't it doesn't have the same kind of feeling for me anymore. But I still think it's really important and it's still useful. It's just, it's just seems like bad vibes a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's crazy you feel like that. My mind is literally blown. Now I'm just like, raw.
Boy, it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, mad. But yeah.
Let's move on to another segment.
Yeah, so have you got a pick of the week? Are we doing flowers?
I've got a pick of the week.
Yeah.
And my pick of the week is actually music based. If you guys haven't already listened to
the
album, it's amazing. Conflicts of Interest, I believe it's called. Solid album. Yeah. I've listened to it like 3 times already. Yeah, the growth on that project is immense. And it's just, for a long time, I'll be honest, like I wasn't always a Getz fan, especially when he was ghetto and he used to rap really fast. Like, I didn't connect with his music. But over the years, like, I've just been, sometimes I think it's good when you're like not a direct fan of someone, because you can just kind of objectively see them and like the work he's put in and the way his music content's changed and like his cadence, everything. It just seems like he's always sharpening. And this album for me, like, even the videos, it's so cohesive. Like, yeah, it just feels like a really well put together body of work. And I think he's gonna win some. If he doesn't win like critical acclaim, he's definitely gonna get, like, you know, the streets will know that this is a classic album, because I ain't heard anything this good out of the UK in a while.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people talking about it today, but I haven't actually had a chance to listen to it.
No, you'd like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give that a listen. Yeah, you know me, I love my grime.
I'm
going to give that a listen. I have a pick of the week. I do. I've been rereading. I've got two, actually. I've been rereading this book called Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read. And it's basically, I don't know if I've spoken about it before, but it's a parenting book, but it literally, regardless of you're a parent or not, it's just, if you want to have kids, it's a good book to read, because it really challenges a lot of the things that we think are normal when raising a child, or it makes you think about a lot of things that how we were brought up. It's like, I can't even think of an example, but I know in like Caribbean cultures or even Black culture, there's a lot of things our parents said to us that we probably just automatically say to our kids. And like, it really challenges those things. And I feel like our generation anyway, I feel like we're really trying to undo a lot of the traumas that we faced when we were growing up. And so, like, I just think educating yourself around parenting and just learning as much as you can about bringing up, raising children is a good thing to do, especially as we're trying to undo all the trauma we face. But yeah, that's a good book. And also, February has been on and off, actually, but I've been calling it Fitness Feb, because I've been trying to work out 5 days a week, not to lose weight, but to gain muscle and just for my all-round
be healthier, I guess.
Yeah, just to be healthier. But I've been doing, I actually joined a WhatsApp group. Shout out Hayley if you're listening. She added me to the WhatsApp group, and we've been keeping each other accountable. But it's like every day is a different video. I want to say the lady's name. Let me try and find it, because I think, here it is. It's Heather Robinson. So basically, she's on Instagram. She has this whole free calendar of like workouts 5 days a week, and for each calendar, she has a link to a YouTube video that she's done. So it's like a workout plan for you. It's just like, yeah, a lot of it you don't need weights, or you could just use things in your house, so you don't need to buy dumbbells or any of that. I just think for anyone who might want to get into it, it's just easy to get into. Yeah, so Heather Robinson on YouTube. That's my pick of the week.
Dope. Well, guys, thank you once again for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts using the hashtag AdsViacePodcast. Let us know if you think is social, antisocial. Chime in. Always keen to hear what you have to say and discuss your thoughts. But yeah, until next time, peace.
Peace.